We'll get back to our show in a minute. But first, a few words
I'm
from
Joy
ART.
Jackson. Welcome to Treasures
I'm Harry
Old
Thiel.
And New from ART.
ART's ensemble
month,
of actors
bring
new life
and
the classic
and
stories
old.
From the days of
we'll
old-time radio.
We'll start off with an ART
well as bringing new
show
audio dramas
and
to full imagination.
With a music show from the days of old-time radio.
There are lots of great stories out there just waiting for the nod of recognition.
The Whistler was a West Coast show filled
adventure,
with tales
romance,
of suspense
westerns,
and
mysteries,
revenge.
Comedy,
American
historical stories based on real life. Maybe even you have a story. Right now, we're in the process of breathing new life into Zorro. Please have a look at our website for more information, AmericanRadioTheater.org. And now, back to our treasures, old and new, from ART.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Tonight, it's the Whistler's strange story, Night Melody.
Marshall's hand shook as he dialed Helen's number from the phone in a drugstore a block away from the apartment. He realized he shouldn't be calling her now of all times. She knew he was coming back tonight, knew every step of the plan. But even though it was dangerous, he had to still that terrible unsure feeling in the pit of his stomach. And just as he expected, Helen was angry.
But you told me not to call you, Marshall.
I had to, Helen. I had to make sure. Prentice is coming home at the same time?
Yes. Regular as clockwork. Now don't be silly, darling. You can trust me. Everything is just waiting for you to walk in.
All right, Helen. I'll be talking to Melody in 15 minutes.
Well, Marshall, darling. Same as ever. Always doing the unexpected.
Surprise.
Well, after all, to have you barge in on me this way, 1 o'clock in the morning, while I was supposing that you're in Phoenix. I think I know what you've come for.
Oh?
You're going to say goodbye, aren't you?
You're very direct, Melody.
Why not? I haven't put much stock in these business trips of yours, you know. Who is she, darling? Anyone I know?
I think that's beside the point, Melody.
Of course. Only feminine curiosity. But whoever your new playmate is, Marshall, I hope she has money. Because you certainly won't get any of mine. I was just talking to my sister this evening.
Helen?
And I don't have any other sisters, dear. I told her again that if anything happens to me, everything goes to her.
That's as it should be.
You're quite sure about this woman?
Yes, I'd say the lady has excellent potentialities. Now, how about a drink? Scotch and soda?
Please. I'll go ahead with my makeup, if you don't mind. I was just going to put on some perfume.
I was surprised to find you dressed, Melody. Going somewhere?
Does it matter?
What's that?
Oh, it's my perfume bottle.
Clever, isn't it?
The perfume called Night Melody. You see? Like it?
It smells expensive. Here's your drink.
Let me put this back with a stopper. Oh, you made me spill it, Marshall. Why can't you do
I'm
it something?
I'm sorry.
Well, I hope it won't show. It's all over my new suit.
Phew. It doesn't have to show.
You don't like it, do you, Marshall? You never like anything.
Please,
I do.
Melody, we're good friends, remember?
Oh, all right.
Here, to the future, eh?
To the future. My, I've never tasted anything quite so strong. Almost like... what is it, Marshall? Marshall, what have you done to me?
Well, it worked, didn't it, Marshall? Quickly. And 1 minute later, you're carrying Melody to the automatic elevator, held on the fourth floor by the little block of wood you left to prop the door open. You put her inside and let the door close. At 1:26, you're outside, standing in the shadows of the shrubbery near the building. At your feet, the suitcase you hid there. You wait. Waiting.
Well, Mr. Prentice!
Whoa, Blake! Oh, you startled me. I didn't know you were coming along the sidewalk.
I've been trying to catch up with you for a block.
Well, suitcase, huh? Back from another business trip?
Yes, and glad of it.
There you are.
Thanks.
Rather nice to meet someone for a change. I'm usually a lone wolf, you know. I suppose it's the lot of every nightclub manager.
Did you ring for the elevator?
Oh, yeah. Started down already. Go ahead, you push it too. Funny thing about that, it never fails. Two people come to an elevator and both of them always have to push the button.
Yeah.
Your wife expecting you, Blake?
No, I didn't get a chance to wire her. Probably be quite a surprise.
And it will be quite the surprise, won't it, Marshall? Yes. You'll probably have to pick Prentice off the floor when that elevator door opens and he sees what's inside. But most important of all, Prentice will produce an alibi no one could possibly break down. And now, as the elevator dial moves around, you begin to brace yourself. 4, 3, 2, 1. You're ready now, waiting. Prentice slides the door back. The elevator is empty.
Well, what's the matter, Blake? Step in. There's plenty of room.
In just a minute, the Whistler will continue tonight's story.
Whatever happened to those great stories you used to listen to on the radio? American Radio Theater brings some of them back to new life using modern technology and old-time production techniques. We encourage new writers as well. You know, there's nothing like audio drama for science fiction and horror because the action all happens behind your eyes and between your ears. You can hear us on the Radio Entertainment Network, radioent.com, and on radiooutofthepast.org. Check out our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org. And thanks for listening. And now, back to the Whistler.
You stand there at the door of the elevator like an idiot, too stunned to speak. It's unbelievable, isn't it, Marshall? You put Melody's body in that elevator not 5 minutes ago, yet the car is empty. Now as the car starts up, you realize that you must keep Prentice with you, somehow, and that wherever Melody is, you've got to find her together.
Prentice, I was thinking, would you like to drop in for a nightcap?
Oh, I wouldn't think of it, waking your wife at an hour like this.
Oh, she wouldn't mind. Come on. We're just across the hall from you. Just a quickie.
You win.
Good. I know Melody will be happy to see you.
Melody? I didn't know your wife's first name, Blake. Very nice. Lovely girls, aren't they? Your wife and her sister, Helen. So different, though. Odd that they don't see more of each other living in the same building and all.
Yes, it is odd. Oh, here we are. Melody, darling, I'm home. She's not here. She's not in the apartment.
Oh, there's an overnight bag next to the divan. Maybe she's going somewhere?
I don't know. She couldn't have... she couldn't have gone far.
Of course. Well, Blake, what about it?
What? About what?
Didn't you ask me in for a drink?
Oh, yes. Help yourself, will you? It's on the sideboard.
Righto. And I'd say you could use a drink, too. Well, that's strange.
Well, what is it?
Well, she couldn't have left very long ago. These glasses have been rinsed in hot water, I think. They're still warm.
Oh, yes, of course.
How do you suppose it... Say, what is that? Perfume?
Oh, yes. It's a favorite of my wife's. Named for or something. Night Melody.
I didn't notice when he came in. Well, that cinched it, Blake. She was in here only a minute ago.
Look, Prentice, I'm afraid I'm a bit on edge, you know, with my plane trip and all. Would you mind if we cut it short?
Well, in again, out again. You said a quickie. You meant it.
It's almost more than you can bear now, Marshall. She wasn't in the elevator. She isn't in the apartment. She's dead? You're sure she's dead? The heavy scent of her perfume in the room makes you almost feel her there, watching you. The minute Prentice goes, and his door closes across the hall, you start to search the halls on the fourth floor, and then hurry down the stairs to the third floor landing. Suddenly you stop. The perfume again. The feeling that she's near you. But she's not, is she, Marshall? Frantically, you cover the third floor, the perfume seeming to follow you everywhere, to fill the air around you with her presence and her brittle, mocking laugh.
Who is it? Oh, it's you, Mr. Blake? I thought I heard somebody. Is something wrong?
No, Mrs. McPherson. I'm awfully worried about Mrs. Blake, though. She isn't in the apartment.
Why, I thought she was leaving on a trip tonight.
She didn't tell me. I just got in from Phoenix, you see.
Oh, dear me. You must have just missed each other. I'm sure I heard Mrs. Blake go out. Wait, I'll call the night man. He brought her trunk up from the basement this afternoon. I'm sure he'll know. You say you saw Mrs. Blake leave the building a short time ago, Mr. Novello?
What did he say?
The night man saw her leave about 1:30 or so.
Wait a minute. What's he...
And she was carrying her overnight bag. I see. Thank you, Mr. Novello. Good night.
Oh, overnight bag? Tell me, what did he say about it? What?
Well, she was carrying it with her.
But the bag,
Now, there's nothing to worry about, Mr. Blake. Come on, I'll fix you some tea. Only be a moment, and, that perfume. It's here in my apartment, too. Isn't that odd?
With a bag? There's no way that...
Blake?
Prentice, I'm having a little trouble with the key here. I'll get it in just a minute.
What's the matter, man?
The key. This lock.
Here, let me get it. And there you are.
Thank you.
I don't mean to be curious, but good Lord, man, there's nothing to get worked up about.
Excuse me. It's gone. It's gone! Her overnight bag. Melody's... It was here a minute ago.
I guess that's what she came back for.
What? What did you say?
Well, I thought it was she. I heard someone come and go just a moment ago. Well,
she couldn't have.
Why are you so sure, Blake? It's perfectly natural. She left without her bag, remember, and came back for it while you were downstairs.
I tell you, I know something is wrong. I feel it.
All right, Blake, all right. There's only one way to find out.
What do you mean?
Isn't her sister's apartment on the sixth floor? Let's go up and check with her.
But she's probably asleep. I don't want to worry her with...
Anything's better than pacing the floor all night. Come on, Blake.
All right, Prentice. Let's go.
And that's not on the program either, is it, Marshall? You're too bewildered to even think now, as Mr. Prentice guides you up the stairs to the next floor in Helen's apartment. Then, as the two of you start down the sixth-floor corridor, something Helen said hits you between the eyes.
Don't be silly, darling. You can trust me. Everything is just waiting for you to walk in.
You stop short for a moment, your mind spinning, and then continue on after Prentice. Walk in, Marshall. Walk into what?
Poor girl's probably sound asleep.
Go ahead, try it again.
Okay.
Yes? What is it? Why, Marshall? Something's wrong. What is it?
We didn't want to disturb you, Miss Mason.
I'm a little concerned about Melody, Helen. You know I've been in Phoenix for the past 2 weeks, and I just returned unexpectedly, and...
Tell me. Tell me, Marshall. What is it?
Well, she isn't at home.
Isn't at home?
There's really nothing to be alarmed about. You know, of course, that she was planning a trip. We can't seem to convince Blake here.
Please, Prentice, would you mind if I talk to Helen alone?
Not at all. Good night, Miss Mason. Sorry to have disturbed you, but poor Blake here, he was...
Oh, of course. Come in, Marshall. Thank you, Mr. Prentice.
Not at all.
What's the matter?
Everything.
Did you do it?
Yes, right on schedule. Only one thing.
What?
When Prentice and I opened the elevator door, she wasn't there.
What do you mean?
Just that. She wasn't there. It went off perfectly. I got up to her apartment just after 1. We talked a while. I suggested a farewell drink. And then I...
Go on.
Wait a minute. Helen. You.
What's the matter?
She's been here too, hasn't she?
Marshall? What are you...
Wait. Night, Melody. Here in this room. I can smell it.
What are you talking about?
Melody's perfume.
Perfume? What in the world?
There's only one way it could have happened, Helen. Just one way.
Marshall!
You're double-crossing me, Helen. Trying to use me for the fall guy. It's Melody's money, isn't it? That's all you're after.
Wait a minute, Marshall.
What did you do with her, Helen? What did you do with Melody? The next thing I know, she'll turn up in my lap with 15 witnesses. When are you set to spring that?
Darling, you don't know what you're saying.
I gave you credit for better sense. You're in it, you know. You're in it as deeply as I am. It's not going to work, Helen. You better understand that right now.
Marshall, listen to
me. I'm through listening to you.
Please, darling, you've got to believe me.
Helen, Helen, I couldn't believe that you'd do that.
Now listen to me, dear. I know we're in this together. There's only one way we can win. We've got to stay together. Always.
I love you, Helen. I love you so much.
Now, if she's gone, it's because someone has found her. Because someone knows.
Well, they all know. The manager, even Prentice.
There's only one way out now, Marshall. There isn't much time.
What do you mean?
Well, they do know, darling. But they don't know enough. If they did, they'd be here by now. We've got to get out of here.
When?
Oh, right now. My car's down in the basement garage. We can be out of the state by daylight.
You know what that means.
Yes, Marshall. I know what that means.
There's a sick feeling of defeat inside you as you wait for her to dress. Yes, you know what it means to run now, don't you, Marshall? From this minute on, the two of you are giving up all thought of the money, admitting to the world and the law that you murdered Melody Blake. But Helen's right. There's only one explanation. They know everything. And from now on, it's only a matter of time. 5 minutes later, the two of you are in the elevator going down to the basement and Helen's car.
That's it, Marshall. Get the door.
Yeah.
The car's over here.
It's so dark.
I can't see.
Take my hand.
Is there anyone on duty?
The night man's working upstairs, I think. Hurry, darling. What's the matter?
Helen, look. On the table, over there, under the window.
Where? I don't see it.
I don't understand.
They brought her down here.
Melody? Melody, you are dead, aren't you? You are dead.
I'm afraid she is.
Oh, what happened? Mr. Blake, it's awful. I had no idea when I talked to you.
Please, Mrs. McPherson.
Who are you?
I'm Lieutenant Brackett, homicide. Mrs. McPherson called us.
But why? What are you doing here?
I don't think it's necessary to explain this.
Surprised, Helen.
Marshall, I...
Stunned, aren't you? Right out of a clear sky. You had no idea.
Please, darling, believe me.
That's the trouble. I did believe you. You should have had better sense, Helen. It won't work, you know. It's the wrong kind of a frame. There's still two of us.
Stop, Marshall.
Two of us, Helen. You and I. Did you get that, Lieutenant? Two of us. I didn't kill her. I was the machine, the dummy. She pulled the strings.
You don't know what you're saying.
Shut up. I'm pulling the strings now, all of them. All right, officer, make yourself comfortable. I got quite a story to tell you.
In just 60 seconds, the Whistler will bring you the strange ending of tonight's story. Suspecting an ingenious rustling plot, Gene Autry signs on as a cowhand and works with the rustlers to prove his point. It's law enforcement the hard way, and it comes close to being Gene Autry's last ride. This Sunday night on most of these same stations, CBS Radio stars America's favorite singing cowboy in the Gene Autry Show, mixing melody and adventure in equal proportions. And now, back to the Whistler.
It's a terrible thing, Marshall. The four of you standing in the gloom of the basement garage. Just enough light from the street light outside filtering through the dirty window to give the whole picture an ethereal, ghostly pallor. You hear yourself talking now, slowly at first, and then faster as the hatred inside you drives the whole thing out of your brain. And in a flood of words, you tell everything. How you fell in love with Helen, about the night you discovered you were both thinking of murder and of Melody's money, of the poison drink, the elevator, the maddening discovery that Melody's body was gone. Helen begins to sob. Mrs. McPherson and the lieutenant just stand there, quietly, listening.
That's all, Lieutenant. I don't know what she's done to try to implicate me. What kind of a yarn she's told you. But that's the truth. No one will ever make me change it.
Oh, Marshall, why?
Well,
why?
What about it, officer?
Amazing. Amazing what you can run into in an apartment house garage. Come on.
Where are we going?
Nightman's room's down here. I'd like to have you talk to him.
The Nightman?
Bring in the lady, Mrs. McPherson.
I won't!
You'll do what I tell you. You're both under arrest, suspicion of murder.
But the Nightman, what's he got to do with
it? Take it easy, you'll see in a minute. How are you now, Mr. Novello?
I don't know, Lieutenant.
You do know Mr. Blake here?
Oh, Mr. Blake. Mr. Blake, please believe me. I didn't mean to do it. I tried to explain. After it happened, I got scared. I lost my head. And that's why I lied about seeing her go out and everything.
Just a minute, Mr. Novello. Tell Mr. Blake exactly what you did.
I was cleaning on the fourth floor, and I found Mrs. Blake in the elevator. She fainted.
Fainted?
Go on, Mr. Novello.
I picked her up to carry her back to her apartment. And as I passed the stairway, I tripped and fell down, all the way down the landing. She hit her head, and I know I killed her. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to.
But you mean he told you...
Funny, isn't it? We thought he was lying. Had him all ready to book. Until you cleared him.
Good Lord, Helen!
Never mind, Marshal. It's no use now.
Well, let's go, you two. Mr. Novello, word of advice. Next time you fall downstairs with a body in your arms, don't lose your head and hide it in the air conditioning intake. Every apartment in this building is full of that perfume.
School bells will be ringing this Sunday afternoon on most of these same CBS radio stations, but our Miss Brooks would much prefer the sound of wedding bells. Here's Sunday comedy at its delightful, delirious best, the rib-tickling story of a high school English teacher and all her hilarious friends, Mr. Boynton, the bashful biology teacher, Osgood Conklin, the short-tempered principal of Madison High School, and of course, Mrs. Davis, Connie's somewhat confused landlady. Meet them all on Our Miss Brooks every Sunday on most of these CBS radio stations. American Radio Theater has presented a recreation of Night Melody, an episode of The Whistler, produced by Joy Jackson and directed by Ivan Curry. In our cast, you heard Brian Hendrickson as The Whistler, Marge Lutton as Helen, Greg Porter as Marshall, Joan Parker as Melody, Renaud LaBeouf as Prentice, Esther McVeigh as McPherson, Dave Parker as Lieutenant Brackett, Cole Hornaday as Novello. Sound effects by Al Gill, Penny Swanberg, and Pat McNally. Engineering by Ron Ailey and Mike Wheeler. Additional music by Kevin McLeod. www.incompetech.com. In the original broadcast, Bill Foreman was the Whistler with Lou Merrill, Virginia Gregg, Alice Reinhardt, Jack Moyles, Paul Dubov, and Victor Rodman. George Walsh was the original announcer. Tonight's Whistler was written by Joel Malone and Harold Swanton. The Whistler was entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarities of names or resemblances to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Jim Turner, who you heard as the announcer. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first a few words from ART. Hi, I'm Harry Thiel. ART's ensemble of actors bring new life into classic stories from the days of old-time radio, as well as bringing new audio dramas to full imagination. There are lots of great stories out there just waiting for the nod of recognition. Adventure, romance, westerns, mysteries, comedies, historical stories based on real life. Maybe even you have a story. Right now we're in the process of breathing new life into Zorro. Please have a look at our website for more information, AmericanRadioTheater.org. And now, back to our treasures, old and new, from ART.
We shift gears to have a listen of The Kraft Music Hall from October 30, 1947.
Starring Al Jolson, for Oscar LaBand, Lou Bring, and his orchestra and chorus, and our guest, William Bendix. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April is
folks, you ain't heard nothing yet. This is Al Jolson in the Old Craft Music Hall, and tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're celebrating National Radio Week, the 25th anniversary of broadcasting. And I'll never forget the first time I was on the radio. It wasn't invented yet. A little later, in 1922, I sang on one of the first radio stations. A man in Chicago tuned me out in the middle of my song. The other day, that same man tuned in again and heard me singing. Turned to his wife and said, "This is the longest program I ever heard." Now, if this man will sit with us, here's a tune and a goodie from Brigadoon. What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to deal, I would swear I was falling, swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to deal, I was falling. Tell me the truth, did you like that song?
I was only listening to the words. I didn't hear the music.
How can you listen to words and not the music?
I can't do two things at once.
I'll say, what's the matter with you talking like that?
I got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning and I made an awful hole in the wall.
I wonder what Oseas Kirby is doing this winter. Well, I love that song. You know something? I'd like to fly back to New York and see what they're doing again. How'd you like to go back with me?
I don't like to fly.
Why not?
My arms get tired.
I wonder what Oseas Kirby is doing this week. You know, I say it's silly of you not to like flying. This is the age of speed.
I know it. The airlines have figured out that if you take a plane from Los Angeles, you can get the transport to Benton back in 14 hours.
But who wants to come back so fast from transport to death?
You may as well. There's nothing to do there. This morning, my wife and I were pinned under the breakfast table for a half an hour while the automatic toaster threw rye bread at us.
I'll say that's an exaggeration. A toaster couldn't have done it.
But it did. My daughter was loading it. See, she's been listening to Winchell. The house is an armed camp.
Well, look, Oscar, your little daughter got nothing to worry about. Winchell postponed the war for 10 years. He told me that.
I'm still worried about progress. I think they're overdoing it, putting the telephones in cars.
Oh, but I love that idea. The other day, a girl gave me the phone number of a convertible. But she said, if a man answered, it was her husband's day to have the car. How do you like that?
Why can't they think of doing something practical, like putting a phone in a piano? Move the piano.
Yeah. Right. Oscar, a phone in your piano wouldn't be good. Even without it, you'd get wrong numbers. But look, I'm only kidding, Oscar. I never said a nasty thing in my life.
Tonight,
I want you to play something pretty. Play something pretty, will you?
I don't like pretty music.
You don't?
I'll play something ugly. Then I can play it from the heart.
You got the line there. If you'll observe.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Hey, that lull was deafening.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you'll observe closely, another lull is coming. You'll notice that I play this entire number using only the black and white key. Go ahead, play it.
Mothers find that this is true. Just because the food budget is strained, the folks don't seem to be any less hungry for snacks. Well, here's what to do. Get a 2-pound loaf of Kraft's economical cheese food, Velveeta. You can let them spread or slice the golden Velveeta thick for sandwiches and snacks. Velveeta is adjustable as milk itself, helps supply high-quality complete protein and other important nutrients from milk. Velveeta's price is low, and when you have that 2-pound Velveeta loaf, it'll do double duty on money saving. You'll use smooth-melting Velveeta for 50 main dishes, too. So remember, tomorrow, get economical Velveeta.
Oscar! Oscar!
Yeah?
Wait a minute, what are you doing?
I'm continuing the Greek concerto.
But I thought you finished it.
No! Grieg wrote it with a short pause for a Kraft announcement. that's pretty, Oscar. I was married to that.
Which one?
Oscar, never mind which one. What is it you're playing?
It's a piece I used to play when I was trying to get a girl to kiss me.
Did it work?
Strange thing. Just as soon as I stopped playing, she got out of the mood. But I solved that.
How?
I keep on playing and have my brother kiss her.
Well, Oscar, look. Why don't you try my system? While I'm kissing my girl, I play one of my records.
After December 31st, you won't be able to do that unless you kiss Petrillo first. Unless you kiss Petrillo first.
Well, I better work fast, because Petrillo's pretty strong. The other day, you had a man in my garden organizing the hummingbirds.
Al, will you sing this for me?
Oscar, are you serious? This is the first time you've asked me. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. 'Cause I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky. 'Cause I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in our garden or on a crowded avenue. You are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people pass by, but they all disappear from you.
Surprise for you.
What?
I like that.
Thanks, Oscar. Now, noodle something else, will you?
Well, here's one that's probably before your time, but I doubt it.
Oh, that's great. I remember that well. I really do.
Whenever a cloud appears in the blue, remember somewhere the sun is shining. And so the right thing to do is make it shine for you.
Oscar, wait a minute. I think I'll do that next week.
What about this one, Al?
Oh, that's pretty. Hey, that reminds me. I promised the folks I'd sing that, didn't I?
Of course, reply. Something here inside cannot be denied. They define those who love are blind. When your heart's on fire, you must realize. Gets in your eyes. Life passed and then I gave it up to think they would doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am without my love. Now laughing friends did I, tears I cannot hide. So I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes.
Hey, Carpenter, yeah. don't that guy sing nice.
Oh, he certainly does, Mr. Bendix.
You know, I could stand here all day listening to Jolson sing. Down deep in my heart, he's taken the place of Hildegard.
Well, you know, Bill, I think Al would be very happy to hear you say that.
But I've got something else to talk to him about. How's he fixed for dough?
Al?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know just how wealthy Al is, but, Bill, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand if he stopped paying taxes for 1 year, they'd have to lay off the president.
Oh, this boy is loaded. that's my man. Do you think he'd put some dough in a football team?
Oh, it's possible. Al likes to take a business gamble. After all, you know what they say. You can't take it with you.
Don't look like he's even going to leave.
Bill, why don't you come and speak to Al?
You think I should, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Hey, hey, sir.
Hey,
sir. Hey, sir, I got a proposition for you. But first, I got to ask you, do you like athletes?
Oh, of course I do, Bill. I admire athletes, especially girl swimmers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I used to watch them swim every evening when I lived at the YWCA.
Joseph.
What?
How did you get into YWCA?
I lied about my age.
Look, Al,
yeah.
You know, we're both big radio stars, and we're supposed to be in the public eye, but you don't hear much about it.
Well, that's right. You see, you never read in the gossip columns about Al Jolson and Bill Bendix. I don't understand that.
Well, maybe that's because we ain't going together. But the thing I'm getting at, Asa, is that most of the big stars own some kind of athletic team. You know, Crosby and Hope, they got baseball teams.
Yeah.
John Amici's got a football team. That's what we got to have, Jolson, a football team.
Oh, Bill. I don't play much anymore. Really, I don't.
But you don't have to play. Why, I got Killer Jones, Strangler Uto, Butcher Ronelli. I got the whole team except two guys.
Where are they?
They haven't been paroled yet.
Now, listen, Wilbur.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hire any gangsters to play on my football team.
But you don't have to pay them much salary. Between heads, you just turn them loose in the sand.
Wait a minute. Now, Bill, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just a moment. Just how much money do you expect me to put into this project?
$8 million.
$8 million for a football team?
Oh, sure. We got to build a stadium.
But it doesn't cost $8 million to build a stadium.
Well, we got to buy a university.
With these boys, we don't need to buy a university. Some dark night, they go out to Westwood and swipe UCLA.
Well, look at the publicity we get when we play teams like the Los Angeles Dons, the Chicago Bears, and the Washington Redskins.
Washington Redskins?
Yeah.
I know the coach there, J. Parnell Thomas.
Al, you'll have the greatest thrill of your life when you see our team run out on the field wearing their blue jerseys with a yellow streak down the back.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Look.
A yellow streak down the back. What's the idea?
Well, that makes the other team overconfident.
Oh, I get it.
Al, will you invest, too?
Now, Bill, wait a minute. You know the old saying, a fool and his money are soon parted.
Yeah, but this is taking longer than usual.
Before I rush into a thing like this, I got to know what experience you've had with athletics.
Experience?
Yeah, experience.
Well, I got my early training in baseball at Ebbets Field.
Wonderful place.
You know where Ebbets Field is?
Yes,
in Brooklyn, right? In 1924, out of 250 umpires that I aimed at, I hit 190 of them with Coke bottles.
You must have used a bottle with a bomb sight.
Yes. I should be a good shot. I started when I was 2 years old.
Really?
You threw my formula.
You threw your formula.
But it never hurt the umpire. The way I threw it, the part with the nipple always hit him first.
But what I want to know is, were you ever on a team?
Was I ever on a
team? Yeah, were you ever on a team?
I was with the White Sox for years.
What'd you do?
What, Sox?
That makes you the original Bendix washer.
You got to be...
Hey, Corny Jolson, listen. Bill, I don't think that's enough experience to run a football team.
You don't have...
What we need is someone to run the team that has brains. Someone who's really intelligent. Someone with a brilliant mind.
Sorry, I won't take the job.
Bill, in case you don't know, this is Oscar Levan.
Yeah, I know, but I'm afraid of a guy like him. He's always flexing his brains.
The trouble with Bendix, he comes from the wrong side of a one-track mind.
Al, is this guy insulting me?
Oscar insulted, he wouldn't hurt a fly.
Unless it was smaller than he was.
How can you find one?
What's happening to me? Last year, Kieran and Fadiman. This year, Jolson and Bendix. Next year, Taft and Hartley.
The year after Abbott and Costello. Go right ahead, boy. Don't mind me.
No, but Asa, this intelligent stuff is out of my line. Isn't there anyone around here stupid enough for me to talk to?
Why, Bill, I've been talking to you.
I came over here to promote a football team. Ain't you guys got no college spirit? Or...
I ain't. 90,000 people packed a Rose Bowl to see a football game. When I play in Hollywood Bowl, only 20,000.
But, Oscar, a football game is a contest. It has excitement and suspense. People don't know how it's going to come out.
I'll have you know when I play piano, nobody knows how it's going to come out, including me.
Now, wait a minute, fellas. Come on, come in with me on this team, huh?
I told you before, Bill, I don't want to mix up with any crooks.
But they're nice fellas. They only lock them up at night, they...
Oscar, look, maybe we ought to go in with Bill, huh? What do you say?
I don't know. There's one thing that bothers me about Bendix. I think that at the age of 12, his mental development and his uncle were both arrested.
Now, that's the sweetest thing anybody ever said to me. Fellas, this is a real whiff and poof moment. So how's about joining me in the team song?
Sure, Bill. You start it, and we'll all join in.
That's right.
Way behind old Sing Sing's walls lives the Bendix bums. Every morn they leave their stalls armed with clubs and guns. If a neck they happen to wrench, no one seems to care. Then a place upon a bench, they just get the chair.
The game tear limb from limb, loud our praises tell. They can win, but it don't matter. All the silly.
Pretty important to conserve food these days. So here's a perfect way to conserve by sending leftovers back to the table for a return engagement that'll get applause. Serve leftover vegetables or chicken or ham or veal or seafood in a rich golden cheese sauce. You can make that sauce the easy way with Kraft smooth melting cheese food, Velveeta. Now here's all you do. Melt 1/2 pound of Velveeta in the top of your double boiler and then gradually stir in 1/4 cup of milk. And that easily you'll make rich-tasting, satin-smooth cheese sauce with Velveeta. And Velveeta adds to your leftovers not only wonderful flavor, but fine protein. Get economical Velveeta in the 2-pound loaf tomorrow for thrifty main dishes, for snacks, for sandwiches. These are days when Velveeta is especially helpful to every homemaker who's trying to plan good meals, nutritious meals, and stay within a budget.
Whenever I think back over the years on Broadway to those wonderful days of Big Boy, Wonder Bar, Honeymoon Express, I remember the kids who worked with me. Some of the most wonderful youngsters in the world. There were many who became great in show business. There were many who got lost for one reason or the other, and I never knew what became of them. You've probably had the same experience. Where's that cute little girl who lived across the street? Or the little sweetheart whose books she carried home from school? Whatever happened to that sweet little thing who came to Hollywood seeking fame and fortune? I don't know if you feel like I do, but whenever I hear this song, my thoughts go back to them. Maybe yours will too.
I wonder what becomes of Sally, that old girl of mine. The sun shines missing from our alley ever since the day Sally went away. No matter what she is, wherever she may be, if no one wants her now, send her
that to me. I've always welcomed that myself. That old girl of
night, everybody.
There's a great day coming next Thursday when Betty Hutton's going to whoop it up with Al Jolson, Oscar Levant, and Lou Bring and his orchestra and chorus. William Bendix appears for the courtesy of his own show, The Life of Riley, sponsored by Prell, and will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Where There's Life, starring Bob Hope. This is Ken Carpenter saying goodnight.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm out of time for today. So, see you next time.